Hello there, and welcome to Women of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ahn, the gritpreneur and woman of grit. Come on in, we saved a seat at the table for you.
Today's guest is a former television producer turned career coach and host of the Second Act Success podcast. She left the television industry after more than 16 years and opened a successful Snapology franchise teaching children STEM education. She coaches women through Second Act Success to embrace career changes, start businesses, and pursue creative passions. Her podcast features inspiring women who have made significant career leaps. So let's meet our guest, Shannon Russell. Hi, Shannon. Welcome to Woman of Grit. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Dr. Ahn. I'm so happy to be here.
Excellent. Thank you. So let's dive in. Grit is defined as passion and perseverance for meaningful long-term goals despite obstacles and setbacks. I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into that. If you could choose one and just one, passion, perseverance, not both, which would you choose and why? And I like to say there's no right answer. Just go with your gut.
I was going to say perseverance, but I think I'm going to say passion because I feel like that encompasses everything in life, right? Passion and the love for your family, for yourself, for your career, for the life that you live. So I think passion.
Yeah, so you're in the passion camp. So I have my passion camp people, my perseverance camp people, and then I have some people who just fret about it. So prior to becoming a public health physician, I used to be an eye surgeon. Around the third year of my residency, that's the last year, I had doubts about my specialty choice, but I persisted because I only believe in finishing what I start. So I completed my residency and worked for about 2 years. I was unhappy. I don't do well with night call, and in ophthalmology, you have to take call. I was at the point where I was making a decision. I was really considering getting out of medicine altogether when I discovered preventive medicine and public health, which is an essentially 9-to-5 specialty. So I pivoted. I went back to residency. And 2 years later, I started practicing public health. I was much happier. The people I met in public health were my tribe. When I was a surgeon, I felt like a fish out of water. Their conversations did not interest me. I was like, what am I doing here? So many people thought I was crazy. And some even told me, to my face in so many words, I definitely understand Second Acts. You transitioned from a successful career in television production to become a business owner and a career coach. This is quite a transformation. What challenges did you face during your transition and how did you overcome them?
Oh, I'm glad that you can relate, and we definitely have to talk further about your pivot because I find it so interesting. But yeah, lots of challenges because unlike you, I loved what I was doing. It felt perfect. It was my dream since I was probably 5 years old. And to have accomplished it, it was really fulfilling. It was just, it fit my life really well for that first act of my life. I met my husband through television, all of my friends. We were living in Los Angeles, living this amazing life. And then I became a mom. And that's when things started changing for me, when I realized the late nights and the long hours and the traveling just wasn't fitting in with the type of mom I wanted to be. I wanted to be very present. I didn't want to miss birthdays and miss Halloween at school and different things like that. So for me, when I went on to have a second son 3 years later, and that's when I made the actual pivot and said, all right, no more of this. I need to figure out what else I can do. And the scary part was finding people that could support me, because I was really a fish out of water, really alone. I mean, even my husband was like, what are you doing? You have this great job that pays well. Like, maybe we can just try to make it work. And I had already felt like I was trying to make it work for 3 years prior. And it just, I didn't see how it was going to become better, because the further up the ladder I got, the longer the hours, the more the pressure. And so, yeah, it was really challenging, I think, just to try to figure out what I could do with those skills in, you know, outside of entertainment, because it's such a niche kind of industry that I didn't think that my skills of interviewing celebrities and writing scripts and producing and directing on set was going to translate to anything else. So there was a lot of soul searching there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, people, in addition to yourself, your self-talk, what were you going to do? Maybe was this the right choice? There were other people who were also saying, what are you doing? I suspect by the time you got to let them know what you were thinking, you had already been thinking about it. You know, sometimes I think it's just that feeling in your gut, you know, that this is not where I need to be right now. And I totally relate with that, because I am a hands-on mom. I wanted a slightly different relationship with my son. I have just one than I had with my parents. I grew up one of six children in more or less a dictatorship, you know?
But my mom
did something. It was law. There was no questioning, you know, what her decision was. And I totally understand. I appreciate my mom. I am the woman I am today because of her. But that's what she knew. And so they say, when you know better, you do better. I just wanted a much closer relationship with my son, because I wanted him to be able to come to me when things happen. And a decision I made also, because of my son and the kind of parent I wanted to be, I resigned my commission from the Army. I was Lieutenant Colonel when I made that decision. I had so many people in the military literally tell me, just hang in there, you'll make full bird colonel, 06 officer. And I said, I don't have that time. My son is at the point where he needs me. I was, you know, I'm effectively a single parent. I'm the custodial parent, and I'm the one who is hands-on. And I just said, I can't leave it up to chance. You know, I interviewed a lot of military members who, once they got back from deployment, the children they left behind were not the children they met when they came back. So much had happened. People who were supposed to provide care did not provide the care like they expected. So many of the parents that I remember most clearly did not have the best outcome. And I think that was also pivotal in my mind, because I was like, I go on another deployment, I come back, you know, so that really all pushed me towards resigning my commission. And do I regret it? No, I don't. Because of the relationship I have with my son, I have no regrets whatsoever. I know I made the right decision. So finding my second act was serendipitous. I was on the internet, you know, when I was really thinking I'm getting out of medicine. I was on the internet doing a Google search for careers after medicine when I stumbled upon preventive medicine residency. And there was one about 30 minutes away from me. And the application deadline was coming up. I read up on it and applied right away. I think I needed someone like you back then when I was searching and really questioning whether I was making the right choice. Just somebody to, because everybody I talked to thought I was crazy, literally thought I was crazy, you know? So maybe somebody like you back then I could have talked to and given my reasons to and how I was feeling at that point, maybe would have been really helpful. So could you elaborate on the concept of producing your best life and how it drives your mission to assist women in finding their second act?
Yes. And I agree. I wish I had someone like myself back then too, because I, like you, was really struggling. I, you know, joined a graduate school program thinking, oh, at the end of that, I'll be a teacher. I got a 9-to-5 job that was not creative and very toxic. I did kind of a few missteps before I opened my first business. And in doing so, I really had to look in kind of to my why, I call it, you know, why am I doing this? And like you, it just all kind of fell into place. So I am with you on making the right decision for our kids. But producing your best life, basically, I started this first business, which was a franchise, and we would teach kids STEM education. And customers of mine would come to me and say, oh, what grade did you teach? You're such a great teacher. And I would say, oh, no, I was actually a television producer. And it would just spark this conversation where they would pull me aside and say, well, can you help me figure out how I don't have to commute into Manhattan every day? And how can I make this pivot? And friends of mine, you know, my children's friends' parents were asking me. And so I said, there's something to this. I think people need that guidance to figure out when they're in this different place in their life, when they now have kids or they're married or they're divorced, whatever it is. And now what they had been doing for 20 years or so just doesn't feel the same, doesn't feel right. So in kind of forming my career coaching business, which is called Second Act Success, Produce Your Best Life. And I kind of look at it like in television as a producer, there would be an idea for a show and we would get it together, all of the pieces, and make it happen and bring it to the screen. So right. In producing your best life, it's really, okay, what are your non-negotiables? What do you want to do? What's not working now? And we search kind of who you are, search your why, and produce that life that is going to fulfill you for the second half of your life, your second.
Nice. Thank you for that. You know, two things came to mind when you were talking about the process. You know, I talked about needing somebody like you, and you also confirmed that you needed somebody like you when you were making that transition. Another thing you also mentioned was, you know, being a producer. And the process, you know, you get an idea, you get together, and you eventually execute. Well, I strongly believe that the universe prepares you for your purpose. You may not think that what you're doing at any one point in time really is relevant to your why, but the universe has a way of preparing you to do that thing that you're walking this earth to do. So being a television producer literally helped you produce the life you have, living your purpose, your why.
That gives me chills. That gives me chills because I feel like you're so right. And just in the past year or so, I've had these memories from my past coming to me and different things that have kind of hit me over the head where I've said, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And
right.
It's crazy when the world works like that. And you just all that stress and that in-between phase, just kind of you relax. And
right.
You just dig into it because you know right. where you need to be.
You exhale.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I've been saying lately is my mantra right now, the universe is my co-conspirator. You know, the universe is my co-conspirator. You know, one of the things, I recently traveled to Morocco, and while I was in Marrakech, we decided to go to this place called Ouzoud. It has waterfalls. Ouzoud is about 2.5 hours from Marrakech. As soon as we stepped out of the hotel, I had no service. You know, I lost my phone service. I was hooked up to the Wi-Fi. So on the way back from Ouzoud, we're about 30 minutes away from Ouzoud, 1.5 to 2 hours away from Marrakech. I am taking a nap and my phone rings. Then I looked at my phone. I looked at my cousin. Like, how is my phone ringing? Yeah, the line. My 11th grader. Hi, Mom. I need this, da da da. I need that, 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 that. And so he needed some money. So I said, okay, I'll cash app you. But then I had lost my purse en route to Marrakesh. And so I canceled my card, my debit card, which was tied to my Cash App account. So I turned to my cousin, who like literally was my bank at this point. It's like, can you Cash App him some money? And she looks at her phone and is like, I don't have service. Like, what do you mean you don't have service? She did not have service. So I said, okay. So I call my nephew in Chicago. I was like, hey, I'm up in the hills of Marrakesh. Could you Cash App your cousin some money? And he said, cool, I got it. Yep. And he hung up. And I tell you, I lost service after that. And so I did a post. I said, the universe literally is conspiring to make sure this kid is okay. So that's when I said, you know, the universe is my co-conspirator. Anything to do with him, the universe conspires and it works. I told him, I said, nobody else had service. Somehow your call came through. So like I mentioned, I'm effectively a single mom, yeah, custodial parent of a rising 12th grader who is a student and an elite athlete. Add in 2 to 3 times the weekly PT recently in the last, 6, 7 months, and strength training after an injury he sustained and surgery. So throwing my full-time job and then hosting this podcast while also trying to grow a business, you know, balancing my professional career as an employee, you know, as a physician and a business owner. My life is quite a challenge. Exhaustion is sometimes my middle name. I try to take time off to travel. I just got back from Marrakesh. Well, for me, that activity is really self-care. Traveling just really helps to center me, helps to ground me, reset my resilience. How do you manage to maintain that balance in your life? And what advice do you have for other women striving for, you know, similar equilibrium balance?
I think that, you know, I worked crazy hours in television, but I was single and, you know, living the selfish life, you know, so it was okay.
Yeah.
And now I feel like with 2 businesses and 2 boys, 2 little boys, I feel like I work even more to a sense, you know, because I'm balancing both and I'm dealing with clients and growing the business and I have a podcast and just all of the things. But by being my own boss, I can shut it down. And I think I'm still working at it, but I try to shut it down when my kids need me. They know right now that I'm speaking to you. And when I'm finished, I will close the laptop and I will go be with them. And I think it's just, I can get really stressed during the day or there's so many things being thrown at me. And then I say, I'm doing this for them and I'm doing this for myself to be able to be at peace and to be balanced doing what I want to do. So you know what, Shannon, it's okay to close the laptop. It's okay to reply to those emails tomorrow. And so I really try to make it that my number one client is me and my kids and my husband, and that is what I strive for. And just, you know, going on vacation and really closing things down, or knowing like summer's coming up and I am not working at my other business at all. I hired enough so that, you know, people can handle that and I will be just dealing with my clients and growing, you know, Second Act Success and being with my boys. So I think just going back to the whole root of why we made this change and realizing that stuff can wait until tomorrow.
Right.
And family comes first.
Absolutely. Because never did anybody on their deathbed say, I wish I'd worked more. You know, most times the regret is that you did not spend more time with the people who were important in your life. You know, it reminds me of my internship year. That was just go, 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 go. And finally, an older nurse grabbed me by the shoulders. And she said, baby, You need to eat. You need to eat. The patient is going to be here. You need to get some food. And I thought about it. The thought hadn't even occurred to me that, oh, okay, I could stop doing what I was doing and actually go eat, you know? But I'm so glad she just like literally she stopped me in my tracks. She said, you need to go eat. Wow. You know, and I always remember that. Then I put things into perspective, because if I don't eat and then I pass out, I'm going to be of little use to the patients I'm so frenetic about, you know? So when I read about your podcast, I said to myself, you need to apply to be a guest. That's wonderful. Yes.
Well, thank you. We're going to chat after this.
Yes, we'll chat after this. Anyway, you interview inspirational women who have made significant career changes and experienced personal growth. Oh my gosh, don't get me started on personal growth. Can you share a particularly memorable story or individual who has greatly influenced your perspective on pursuing one's dreams and creating a fulfilling life?
There are so many. The one that I refer to a lot is this woman who was working in fashion in Manhattan. She was working for Donna Karan and Ralph Lauren and just all of the big names. But yet she had a 2-hour each way commute into the suburbs. And she ended up missing a lot of her 2 children who were in preschool at the time, just missing a lot of their, you know, milestones.
Right. And
she decided she wanted to pivot. Actually, we spoke about it because I had already made the pivot. And she decided that she really loved breastfeeding when she had just had her children. And she wanted to learn how to be a lactation consultant.
Yes.
No difference in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But she used, what was inspiring to me is that she decided she needed the money from her job for her family, but she was going to use those 2 hours each way. That's almost 4 hours a day to study and take her certification. She did that.
Nice.
And once she got certified, she opened a business. And now she does not commute. She left fashion and she helps other families, you know, learn to breastfeed, you know, or feed their children the way that they want to. And it kind of reinstilled, made me feel good about the decision I made, because she left this career that she loved, that she dreamed about since she was a little girl, and found something else that she equally loves where she can serve people and be the mom she wants to be. And hearing that story, I could relate to it so much that it was really nice for me to hear and really inspiring, I think, for other women to hear that, because, you know, a lot of times you hear, oh, this person hated their job and they needed to change. But it's
right.
Interesting when you do love your job and you still need that change for other reasons. And the fact that she just worked and used that time instead of scrolling on TikTok, she grew herself a business and got educated. Yeah, so that's the one that I always go back to as being a really cool story.
So where there's a will, there's a way. And she made it work. She made it work. It's so funny when you were talking about her. On the flight back from Morocco, I watched The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it came into my head.
So good.
So talking about lactation and how important that work is. When I had my son, I was fortunate to have my aunt with me. And she literally coached me. For the first time, mom, breastfeeding is not a joke. It's not a joke. It can be, for some women, they're like born naturals. But for other women, it is a struggle. For me, it was a struggle. The pain. If I did not have my aunt with me, I think I would have quit. He told me it will pass. The pain will pass. I was like, this is crazy. She sat by me and she coached me through. She literally coached me through. And I'm so glad I had her. So thinking of your friend who made the pivot, whose second act was being a lactation consultant. There are so many women out there who need that support when they're nursing. And I think some women, without the support, have quit.
Oh, yeah.
So I talked about, you know, I still work full time as a physician. I absolutely love serving our military members and the civilians that support them. But I also absolutely love being a podcast host and also growing my business, helping women physicians become thought leaders through podcasting, in addition to speaking and coaching. You know, maybe your answer to this next question will inspire me to take a leap of faith. What valuable lessons did you gain from the courageous decision to leave behind a successful job, a job you loved, and embark on the journey of running your own business from scratch?
I think just that ambition and feeling like if I could do it now, I can take on anything. So I think for me, I have a very adventurous kind of personality. I'm like, oh, great. What's the next challenge? Let me get to it. And you know what? I always look at it like I didn't leave television because I'm still very much a producer and I could produce tomorrow. Same with you. If you were to leave medicine, you can practice any day. Right. So I try to tell my clients that our identities are not wrapped in our careers. And then we really do have to say, like, okay, that was it for that chapter. I'm going to cross it off my list. I accomplished that. I became that profession. And now I'm going to try something new. And that's the adventure that really excites me. So I feel like just knowing that, okay, that I'm going to get to do something else. How cool is that? And there are so many people who are unhappy, stuck in these, in their 9 to 5. And then they're going to wake up one day and say, was that it? That's what I did. And I don't want to be that person. I want to have all the adventures and check all of the boxes. And, you know, there's so much more that I still want to do. And I just kind of look at it like I'm putting my ambition to good use and trying new things.
Well, thank you for that. I don't know if you remember, there was a commercial a few years ago where the parrot is literally saying, I can take this. I can take this. Not another day. Not another day. I can take this. And then all of a sudden, this man opens the door and comes into the house and literally saying, I can take this. Not another day. Not another day. You know, I remember that commercial and that kind of came to my mind when you were talking about that. What you said about learning new things, being open to learn new things, makes me think about mindset and a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, because people with growth mindsets are open to new challenges, whereas people who have a fixed mindset are hesitant to try new things because they're afraid of failure. So they stick with what they know because, you know, going to try something new could mean you don't succeed. So definitely. How did this experience shape your mindset and your approach to both professional and personal growth?
Well, first launching my first business right out of TV, it was a shock to everything because I was going from making really good money to making absolutely nothing in growing the business. So it was very much a scarcity and scary time. However, I just was like, okay, well, I have to make it work. I have to make it work for my family and I'm going to. And so slowly but surely, the business grew. And now 7 years later, I'm in the top 5 of all of the Snapology franchises. And I feel like that experience of saying, wow, all of my skills from television, from producing, I was able to produce this business to be extremely successful and grow it, whereas there were no other Snapologies in New Jersey where I lived. So it was really like grassroots trying to get the word out there for a relatively small franchise. But I had the support from the headquarters and, you know, the other owners around the country that I became friends with. So I was able to do it. And then I said, well, you know what? If I can do this, then I can launch my next business and I can help others figure out how to grow their businesses. And I can do a podcast and I can write a book. Once you see that glimmer that something you're trying is actually going in the right direction, just knowing to give yourself that patience and it will grow, and just give yourself that time. And that's kind of what I was telling myself, is it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
I can do this. I just have to be patient and keep patience. Working hard.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that patience piece is so important, because especially now with social media, people post their one success or their one successful take. They don't show the 99 that were a flop. And all we really see a lot of times is the tip of the iceberg. We don't see what's below. And we beat ourselves so much about, oh, this other person is doing so much better than I am. You know, to say comparison is a thief of joy. But some of these people have been at it longer than you've been alive. So put it in perspective. People have put their time in, and you may be enjoying success. Now, I told my writing coach that. I said, you literally have been at it for the last 10 years. So I have to slow it down. I have to put the time, put the work, the sweat equity in, and not just expect to be where you are right now, because you've been doing this for quite a while. So I talked about really loving my job. Once I switched, made that pivot to public health from being a surgeon, I found my home. I enjoy taking care of military and civilian personnel within the federal government. However, I also love helping women develop their grit as a grit coach, and soon to be a grit and therapeutic lifestyle coach, because I'm also board certified in lifestyle medicine. So what advice would you give someone who is unsure about whether they should make a change in their work, the job, or their life? What advice could you give someone like that?
I always bring it back to the why, really, to say, okay, why are you not happy in your current role, your current position? Really look to, okay, what would make it better? And make those lists. Keep it simple. Make a list of what you enjoy at your current role, things that maybe you're good at that you just don't enjoy doing, so that you know that if you're moving to another career, if you're going to open a business, if you're going to write a book, whatever it is, that you are not taking those pieces that you may be good at but don't want to do anymore, that you're taking those off the table, because you don't want to move and find yourself in the same position. And if you are moving and you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it is, you know what you want. You know what you like and don't like. So really start there, and then start with your, after that, go to your non-negotiables. You know, if you know what you like and what you want to do, will that enable you to pick up your children at 3 o'clock because that's what you need to do every day, or have your weekends free because you like to hike or you're in a running club? You know, just kind of go through your non-negotiables, line that up next to your why and what you like to do, and start researching. Just keep it simple. If you have 3 ideas of things you might be considering, research them, talk to people, and, you know, learn before you leap is kind of what I say, and try to learn as much about it as you can, so that when you are moving, you have an educated decision. You feel more confident the more you know about where it is you're moving into. And then it comes down to the grit and just saying, I can do it. If you are an achiever, you will figure out a way to make this work. And it doesn't have to cause, you know, all this chaos in your family. You can research it and plan it out in a way that really works for you and your world, so that you're it's a nice, easy transition.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we've talked about the why. We've talked about the what. So let's look at the when. So can you share some tips or maybe indicators that can help individuals not unlike me recognize when it's the right time to pursue a new path or make a significant transition?
So really, it's once you do that work that I just mentioned and kind of really turning inward. There's so many times in life that we don't turn to ourselves and say, How am I feeling? Do I want this? Am I happy? Is this working for me? And once you do that work and you start researching, then you can say, okay, let's make a plan, and you can reverse engineer it. If you want to give yourself 6 months, I always say a timeline is great because it's going to hold you accountable, especially if you're doing this without a coach and without support from family or friends. You need to be your own accountability partner. And so say, okay, 6 months is when I want to give notice at my job and start something new, or I want to launch that business. And then you can say, okay, let's work back from 6 months. And what timelines do I need? Do I need to update my resume? Do I need to have some informational interviews with people who are already working in that industry that I'm interested in? And start really working towards that in a way. If you're opening a business, you know, apply for your LLC. You know, there's so many things you can do while you're working and still earning that paycheck. So really, it's giving yourself that timeline. And then if it doesn't feel right then you've got all that preparation and information,
right,
and you can decide when it feels right.
Excellent. So a couple of things came to mind when we were talking about that timeline. So GRIT is not just the definition of the word. For me, it's also an acronym. And the I is for introspection or self-reflection, doing the soul work.
Yeah.
You know, really looking inwards, becoming self-aware. And talking about the timeline, we talk about setting SMART goals, and the T in the SMART is that timeline. So you have to set timelines. Will you always meet the timeline? No, but you can always make adjustments depending on what's happening. So yeah, we talked about the why, the what, and the when. So time literally just flew by. Today, I've been having a conversation about changing careers with our guest, former TV producer turned entrepreneur, podcast host, and second act career coach, Shannon Russell. I hope our listeners have gained some insights into pursuing second careers. Is there anything that's maybe I left out that you would like to share with the listeners before we wrap things up?
No, I feel like we covered a lot of it, and I hope this was inspiring. I did actually, it's funny that we talked about the timeline. I just released a quiz that's literally titled, Is Now the Right Time to Change Careers? So if anyone's interested, that's on my website at secondactsuccess.co. And there are some private podcast links in there as well that kind of help you figure out when would be a good time.
So I will have your contact information in the show notes and also the episode webpage that will be generated once the episode is released. If you don't mind, could you repeat where listeners can find you again?
Absolutely.
Other than your website, and then if there's any other social media that sure you'd like to share.
Sure. secondactsuccess.co is my website. And on there, you'll get links to my Second Act Success career podcast, blogs, ways to work with me, the free quiz, and some other freebies and downloads. So really everything is there. And I'm on Instagram at Second Act Success.
Excellent. So it has been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on. And that concludes our conversation. Thank you for stopping by, and best wishes in all your personal and professional endeavors. Take care, and until next time, I never say goodbye.
Thank you.
So that's it for today's episode of Women of Grit. Thank you for joining us, and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womanofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support. And until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.